Hey guys, coming up, we have a New York Comedy Festival show. It's called Culture War, and I Don't Think So Honey Deathmatch. Team Matt versus Team Bowen. 10 people on each team fighting hard to see who can give the most amazing I Don't Think So Honeys. It's on November 7th. That's a Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. again for New York Comedy Festival. Tickets are available right now.
And then at the Brooklyn Podcast Festival on November 18th at 10 p.m., we have our third installment of I Don't Think So Honey live at the Bell House. We're so excited to finally perform there with a brand new roster of 50 comedians doing their amazing inaugural I Don't Think So Honeys live for a rabid crowd. We can't wait. See you there.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling. Well, I guess you could say the M&Ms are back, bitch.
The M&Ms are back.
I guess you could say that not only did I bring the M&Ms on this episode,
but you brought a new favorite of mine. Can I plug?
Go ahead and plug.
Can I plug the snack?
The snacks are really happening today.
We've got pretzel crisps, buffalo wing flavor.
Yeah.
Deli style. I told you, Matt, I put this in my mouth and I was like, there is a piece of gorgeously fried chicken in my mouth.
Yeah. And you know who exposed me to this? Already, yeah, our guest is Living La Vida Loca, which, of course, is the original song.
Yes.
It was more of a ballad. Katrina Rogers, who is my mother, who I'm going to radically say this.
Radical.
She should be on the pod.
Oh, 100%.
I think Katrina should be on the pod.
I would love that.
I think that would be an amazing episode.
But, yeah, okay.
But what?
I'm
you
saying,
stupid bitch.
For symmetry, like, I would love that. That means we should bring my mom on, and I don't know if that's.
Why don't we bring someone else in your family on?
We can bring my sister on.
Why doesn't Yang Yang come on?
My sister would be great. Would be so great.
You think?
I think so. And speaking of family, we have a new member of the family in the room. Not our guest, but we have hot engineer Will. Hi, Will. He
Hi.
Just moved from Seattle.
He's fresh off the boat and fresh in our hearts. And Will, I'll ask you one question. What's the best M&M?
To me, it's the peanut butter M&M.
Okay,
that's wrong.
Oh,
that's unfortunately
crispy.
Wrong.
Crispy
M&M is good, and pretzel's close enough. Now,
no.
Will is a certified expert in all things audio. He just walked me and Matt through with a delicious, sumptuous tapestry of words. He told us about a sonorous proximity effect when he was telling us to please speak more directly into the microphones.
And I just want to say that was a note for Bowen. I never need a note in terms of how to speak into a mic.
That was a note for me, but I mean, do you regret having those words spoken to you?
No. I don't regret it.
I felt something. And then, you know, and then later on he very, very genteelly talked us through the axis of the microphone. Guys, now I know. I can tell everyone we're recording on the RE20, which is designed for people who can, you know, push a lot of breath, like voice actors.
I'm anxious now.
Okay.
That people now know the secrets of the podcast.
I mean,
and they will themselves buy an RE20, and all of a sudden you'll be hearing ding dong.
Oh.
And
some
all
imposters.
All of a sudden there's going to be Las Culturistas 2.
Well, I challenge someone out there to start a new podcast called Las Culturistas 2, and
I will sue. I will have my lawyers on it.
What a fun little social experiment.
Speaking of my lawyers, I want to bring my lawyers in right now and sue our guest for making me laugh so hard, and also for laughing over our whole intro, because you are having... How dare you? I would bring a lawsuit to you. Who is she?
She has one of those laughs that's so contagious. Aww. And whenever she laughs, I laugh. You know, no matter.
And whenever she laughs, I break out into a rash.
Oh, well, still contagious.
She is a veteran. This is the credits, by the way.
Let's go through the credits.
She's a veteran. She's a veteran of Comedy Central Roast Battle. Mm. She is one of the co-hosts of Battle of the Divas with former queen of the pod, Mateo Lane, at Union Hall, and you can see they have a show at New York Comedy Festival.
Yes. And, oh, of course, she has her upcoming solo show at Ars Nova on November 4th.
Yes.
It's Christy Bitch, starring The person sitting to my left, Matt Rogers.
I do feature into the show.
I said featuring.
In a role that I was born to play. I know. And in fact, perhaps have already played in my life.
And of course, she was a new face at JFL this year. Star on the rise. And I need to, let's introduce her. It's Christy Cello.
Oh my God, you guys, thank you so much. I'm sorry I've been such a bag of giggles.
Why are you giggling? Now, tell us why.
Explain yourself.
Because I've wanted to do this podcast my whole entire life. You know I'm a fan. You know I've been to both your live shows in New York City.
Yes.
And to see it happening in the studs is honestly, a real treat to watch you guys do this.
We asked you a question at this point. Okay. Is this what you pictured?
Honestly, you know what strikes me the most?
What?
Is that physically we are so close to each other.
By necessity, though.
Bootleg.
I feel very close to you guys. And you know what? This is everything I thought it would be and more.
I mean, this...
Yeah. I'm having the best time of my life
Good.
So far.
And there's no need to point out how close we are. We are doing this, one, to create this kinship and this bond, and two, for that sonorous proximity
effect. We should say we're in a room that is acres large. We don't have to be sitting within a cubic foot of one another, but we just are, because that is the love.
Yes.
And also, you know, hot engineer Will is also in the same cubic foot as us.
Well, you're so close to us.
You're so close to us.
I'm getting lost in those baby greens.
You know, you thought they were something you could order as a side at, that restaurant. But in fact, they're in Will's eyes.
They're in Will's eyes. Now, Christy.
I didn't know where you're going with that, but then I got it at the end.
Neither did I, honey. Neither did I.
I got it at the end.
It's called being Matt.
Being
you don't know where you're going, but you get there. Wherever that is, you don't know.
I mean,
what, nothing?
My brain just short-circuited. You guys.
All I know is you started this by attacking my mother.
I did not attack your mother.
You attacked. I said, my mother should be a podcast guest, and you said, well.
No, I said, but.
I did.
Only to counter that with, well, what? I'm sorry. And I was just placing my own mother in that place, and I was like, would that be. That would be uncomfortable for everybody. And so I was just like. Maybe that disqualifies Katrina.
I don't think it does. I think Katrina stands on her own. I think Katrina is more than a mother.
Oh.
And I think that you said that she is merely a mother.
I didn't.
I say more than, you say merely.
Rule number 52 of culture. A mother is not merely a mother.
Yeah, right.
You didn't say it with me, so that didn't register.
I think it landed either way. Look, Christy.
Hi, you guys.
Wait, speaking of maternal figures, I truly, you know, it just hit me. And Christy, this is why I feel like I connect with you, is because you have such a joy that, and you laugh at the same moments that my grandmother would laugh.
Really?
And you remind me of just by sense of humor
this
alone.
This is wild.
No, I mean it. And like, Christy laughs at the moments that my grandmother would laugh, like especially during like silences or pauses.
Yes.
Christy is someone you can always count on, Christy, to fill in the silence with a gorgeous laugh.
Thank you so much. Honestly, thank you. Your grandmother sounds like an amazing woman.
She's an amazing woman.
She really does.
You're a laugher, huh?
Oh, I'm an easy laugh. And I pride myself on being an easy laugh. You wanna know why? We're rapidly ascending towards our death. You gotta laugh.
You gotta laugh.
Ascending.
You gotta laugh.
Can I ask you, what do you think will kill us?
That's a great question.
Too much
laughter on this podcast.
Oh.
I don't think that's it, Christy. I don't think that's it. Now you think I was asking for a joke, for a thrill. I want to know
what's going to kill us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God.
No.
I'm really thinking hard about this.
What's going to happen?
God, who knows?
I think I know. We were just talking about this. True story. Christy and I ran into each other very, very, very randomly at this like little deli grocery store around the
corner. It wasn't like that random because we were both going to be here.
I know, but like,
right,
what are the odds?
Yeah.
What are the odds? Like an hour beforehand.
Anyway. We were both early and we sat and had a bite.
We both arrived at the same conclusion that social media is in shambles right now. Just the whole concept of it. We're really questioning right now as a society
it's like,
what the use is, and because it's caused so much damage. But So we hate Facebook.
We hate Facebook.
You and me at least.
I mean, are we getting real right now?
Let's get real. Yeah, this is what this podcast is
all about. We've been so fake this whole time.
I've been fake as fuck this entire time.
I mean, we can bounce back and forth between the real and the fake.
This isn't even how I really talk.
No, come on.
Everyone's gonna see the real me right now.
Okay. So let's put a pin in this. Social media is bad. We just need to talk about Christy's voice.
Oh my God. So what is it?
Honestly. My little sister sounds a lot like me, and it's really funny because...
How old is she?
She's really little. She's not. She's like 28.
Little.
And, yeah, it's so weird. I did get my tonsils out, though, as an adult.
Okay.
A couple years ago, and I remember being like, oh my God, is this going to make me sound even weirder? Or maybe it, like, would normalize my voice? And I, like, didn't really.
No change at all?
I felt a change. I felt so much space in my throat.
Wow. I was terrified because I want to get my tonsils out so badly because they always get some flare up.
Oh, I got tonsillitis all the time. Yep. And mine were like golf balls that would like touch each other.
Yes.
So it's weird. It's like I didn't even know that a mouth is supposed to feel so open.
Do you feel that's crazy.
Yeah, it's really deep.
Do you feel empty now that there's a part of you out there in the world that you can't touch anymore?
Honestly, no, because I feel like this is the real me. Those tonsils held me back.
Oh, my God.
So I really encourage, I think you should do it.
It was like an exorcism.
Yeah.
I mean, I should do
it. It's rule number 88 of culture. A part of your body might be holding you back.
And if it is, chop, chop.
Chop, chop. Yeah,
get rid of it. It's like a weird plastic surgery allegory.
I love it. And you know what? This leads into rule number 4 of culture, which is a tonsillectomy is like an exorcism. You're not saying them with me today.
I didn't know where the fuck you were going.
I was so confused.
Something in this system is flawed now.
Yeah, you bitch. Okay. It's you that flow.
Okay. It's you, Daflo.
Can I ask Christy a question?
Yeah.
Is it going to be as deep as the last one? I mean, I'm prepared for it.
It's actually going to be the question that we ask every guest.
Yes. Oh my God!
But we never got to what we think will kill us all.
Yeah. Okay. Let's answer that.
The
place I was going to with that was social media. Like, just the fact that it's so easy to organize around any stupid idea. Is what will
you know
kill
what
us.
I think is going to kill us, and I think social media is going to keep moving forward, and then it's going to just become robots, and the robots are going to come, and they're going to
like Terminator,
kill us.
Like Terminator.
Oh, I believe. Oh, 100%. We're going to be replaced by robots.
You guys should read this amazing article on a website called Wait But Why. It talks all about AI and how we are currently going to be on a balance beam. With AI,
crazy.
Either we fall on one side, which is like we all live forever, like robots will, we will be the robots, we will live in the robots, we will be immortal within the robots, or the other side of that balance beam is they kill us.
You wanna know what's weird though? I'm like not scared of death.
That's
like, it doesn't really scare me. I've never been scared by it. Not that I like want to die, because I'll go to heaven and meet Jesus.
Yes, okay.
And all my old dogs.
All your old dogs. Oh my God, how many old dogs?
Two.
Oh.
One that I love. The other one I didn't love.
Yeah. Wait.
Because it always tried to bite me.
No.
Then why do you think it's in heaven?
Because I think all dogs go to heaven. Bitch. Rule number 37 of
culture.
All dogs go to heaven.
I can get down with that.
I can get down with that. Okay, so Christy's answer, Matt, then, is social media and
robots.
Not tangentially robots.
Okay, I have a different
answer. What do you think?
Yeah.
I think something crazy out of left field, like an asteroid.
Really?
Yeah, I think we're going to deep impact this shit.
Space is so crazy that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Cool thought, Christy. But like space is honestly
space
so
is
crazy.
Space is so amazing that's amazing.
Amazing.
That's
so
actually
bad.
Rule number 99 of culture. Space is so crazy that that's amazing.
I think you're both right. I think there is some grand extinction event that is... inevitable.
Yeah. And you know who's going to tell us about it? Anderson Cooper.
Wait, do you not like Anderson Cooper?
No, I don't.
Why?
I don't love Anderson anymore because I feel that he threw Kathy Griffin under the bus.
That's true. That's true.
I think he kind of did as well.
I think
I understand
that. And I think there that he's definitely certainly in a position where he didn't have to do that.
Right.
And I think he did. And I think it's really unfortunate. And I think it's
if he
I think
to,
you should always have your friends back.
You should. If he came out with like an apology, would you forgive him?
Yeah. I think people make mistakes. I think he's under a lot of pressure.
Right.
I also don't think he cares. No. I don't even know how close they actually were. It certainly seemed like they were friends.
Right.
I have this image in my mind because I think they create this of like fucking Kelly Ripa, Anderson Cooper, and Andy Cohen, and Kathy Griffin, and all the cool like gay and gay adjacent celebrities who are very wealthy, all hanging out on a boat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know that that's true.
Yeah. Andy Cohen and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I know that they're also friends. So
I would stand up for you guys, or I would support you guys if you guys came out.
Literally, no question in my mind.
I'm done. I'm half joking too. I'm saying like, there's no need to say this, but that I would support you.
But thank you so much.
If uh-huh. I was holding Trump's bloody head, can you imagine if you said, for the record, I think what Matt's done is disgusting. When no
is that
one
really terrible. What he said about Kathy?
Yeah. Wow. Deplorable. Right? I forget. Honestly, don't quote me on the word, but you can look it up. What he said.
Sure.
He said, like, for the record, I think what Kathy Griffin did was, and then he described it in some like, you know, media ready way to say it was disowning her.
Mm. Jeez.
As if she didn't like deal with enough. And then I read an article where she was quoted as saying that he never even personally reached out to her until months and months later.
That's awful.
I thought at the time, oh, he must be saying this because he has to say this. He's definitely reached out to her and said, hey, I'm going to like have to publicly condemn you, but you know I have your back, which I think would have made a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't do that, says she.
But like, I mean, I think it's important though to know if they were really good friends in real life or if they weren't. I mean, how close were they in real life?
I don't know. I mean, I know he was a big champion of her getting and keeping that job of the ball dropping, you know, the New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that it always just, I don't know.
Either way, it's a little fish. It's hard. I'm sure Anderson was caught between a rock and a hard place and really had to like, you know, for his job. Who knows what they were hanging over his head.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Christy. He's a Vanderbilt and he's going to be fine. You know what I mean? Like, going to be fine.
That's true.
You know, Kathy Griffin wasn't making a break in Anderson Cooper. And
that's
also,
true.
And the Trump voters would have like already hate him for being gay.
Yeah, it's like he wasn't losing anybody.
Right.
But unfortunately, I think he did.
Ooh, this one.
I mean, I and love Anderson. One. I was going to get a dog and name it Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
Really?
I was.
Okay.
Not only because it's hilarious, but also because I liked Anderson Cooper.
I really liked him too.
He, Sam Taggart and I went dancing one night at Eastern Block. Now clip coming. One night he and Andy Cohen came. And Sam, this was like Sam's first month in New York, which is
oh
so
my
funny.
God.
But he was like freaking out, was so starstruck. And we were like, and Mike Spence was there. And me and Mike were like, my straight roommate, Mike Spence. And we were both like, Sam, like, calm down, like, be cool. He was like, I'm going to go over there and say hi to him. And we were like, no, don't do that. although I, at one point, like later on in the night, got super drunk. And on my way to the bathroom, like Andy Cohen was just like being like a little, I mean, and this is his right to be this way, but he was being a little skeezy.
I
like,
live for hearing the dirt on celebs like behind the
and
curtain.
And not even dirt. Like, you know, he's allowed to do this. He's a single, or even if he's not, like he's allowed to do this.
Right.
But then I decided to try my luck and I didn't like go up to him or anything, but like I like put my hand on his arm as I was walking to the bathroom in the opposite direction and just like sort of like stroked it away. Like stroked
is that your
it
move?
As I walked away.
A casual stroke? A walk by stroke?
It was a walk by stroke. I did this, Christy. I did this and then like
I just got wet.
And then, he went, excuse me, what the fuck was
no,
that?
No, no, no. And like at this point, like who knows how like three sheets to the wind he was, but then like we like clasped hands as
shut.
I walked away.
Obviously he was into that walk by swoop.
Well he didn't see me. Like if he had turned around and seen my face, he'd have been like, no fats, no femmes, no Asians. But it was.
We don't know that he's like that.
I know. I'm saying like endemic in the white gay community. Christy,
I actually think Andy Cohen is very hot,
very handsome.
Really?
I'm really into
and he
him.
Seems like a really nice guy. Seems like a really really nice decent guy.
And I don't even mean to be like I actually think like Andy Cohen is a good looking guy.
How subversive of you. Now no, everyone who's like worked at Bravo, like Nicole Conlon, former guest of the show, was an intern there, like back in college, like 2009, and like had nothing but good things to say about. He just seemed
That's
like a
nice
guy.
I think he's great. I think he's so great. I'm disappointed that Anderson didn't have Kathy Griffin's back because I just couldn't find a place where I couldn't find a place where I would put myself in that position and not have my friends back. Like, especially, right. like, you know who Kathy Griffin is.
Yeah.
Like, I guess.
I agree. That's a good reason to not like him anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
It really is.
It is. It is. It is. Now, Christy, we're going to ask you what we ask all of our guests.
Oh, my God.
Finally, which is, Christy, what yeah. is the culture that made you say, culture is for me? Now, this means movies, books, TV.
The cinema, the small screen, Sonic,
religion, maybe? Like, whatever you want
Can
it
you
to
Can you
just
be. Repeat the question one more time, and I'm going to close my eyes.
What is? And Matt, feel free to chime in and, like, rephrase the question in a little bit in a fucked up way. What is the culture that made you say culture is for you? What is the culture that made you want to step in a cultural direction?
Imagine you are the baby dinosaur in Jurassic Park coming out of the egg.
Not the mama.
No. You're not the mother because she's far too jaded. Oh, you know, she's already made her cultural decisions.
Actually, I have an answer. Okay. And I feel like it's might have been an answer that has been given on the podcast already, but my reason is my own. Boy bands.
Yes.
And it started for me with New Kids on the Block because I have an older sibling. And that I went on the local news channel mm-hmm. in my hometown and I wrote Joey McIntyre a love letter and I got to read it to him. Oh. It was on the news.
Oh my God.
And then he gave me a hug after I met all of them. Oh. I went to their concerts and then growing up, I was just huge into the boy bands, mainly NSYNC.
Oh my God.
But that was like.
But you were a whole generation ahead of a lot of. Because I feel like I missed that window.
Oh, I was into New Kids on the fucking Block.
So you got in on the ground fucking floor with boy bands.
Exactly.
Like,
and when Backstreet Boys came and when NSYNC came and 98 Degrees and LFO and O-Town and Five and like all of them. I mean, I compared them. I know their names. I know their facts. I know their origins.
Yes.
Like that for me, something about. Of grown
that reads
of
100%.
Men. Really?
Ah! Was that also your type? Like yeah. the kind of boy band type?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was like the musical, the guy who did musical theater who was quote unquote like the straight guy with like
yeah.
the puka shell necklace, but was like cool.
But it was still, but was ultimately still straight.
Ultimately still straight.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that was my type.
There was that guy in my high school who like we had to pull him in from lacrosse. But he was such a good singer, so attractive, and was, you know, still is straight, but it was just like a dang, like,
yeah.
they've got that one. But no, that is a great answer, because that just covers a whole swath of
and
culture.
And you know what? It's like, it's the showmanship, because these boys could sing,
mm-hmm.
and they would, like, their choreography, like, also it was like a sexual awakening for
yes.
me. Like, the first feelings I had of, like, being horny with these shirtless men like gyrating
yes.
and the words they were saying, and it was those were formative years for me.
I'm telling you, do you remember Justin Timberlake in the Tearing at My Heart video
yes.
in the white wife beater mm-hmm. like on his knees on top
yeah,
of that
yeah,
bed
yeah.
in
oh
that
my
like
God.
Dark black and white
like
room?
It was yesterday.
That but the thing about it is what was he 17 16 17
oh,
years
yeah.
old
17
he was fully I mean, he was on a bed in a wife beater. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
The implication.
Fully masculinized.
Yeah. The implication was, you're going to fuck this boy.
Yes.
Everyone watching.
And, but like, he was this fully. It was like Britney like did not have that awkward phase. Like, she was a sexual being as soon as you saw her.
They all were. People yeah. think that like Christina Aguilera's like sexual moment was dirty. But no, she was singing,
album.
You Gotta Rub Me the Right Way.
So I know.
Laying on her belly. Flipping her little,
yeah.
you know, for lack of a better word,
yeah.
vagina.
Flipping her little vagina.
Flipping her little puss.
Yeah.
There is.
Flipping it to and fro.
I have a question for you. To and fro.
Rule number 300 something something of culture. You gotta
flip that puss to and fro. In fact, that might be a new hit song. You gotta flip that puss to and fro.
Yeah.
You gotta flip it
what?
To and fro. You gotta flip that puss to and
say
fro.
It again.
You gotta flip it to and fro. This is to the tune of.
I feel like you
oh
didn't make up that song.
No, I very clearly didn't. It's hip hop, a hip, a hip to the hip hop, and you don't stop
yep.
until the bang bang.
Will loves that song.
Hot engineer Will loves it. Was the illusion shattered for you though when like all when you learned about like how awful of a person Lou Pearlman was?
Oh my God.
No.
No. You want to know why? I'm the worst when it comes to that. Michael Jackson is I idolize him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, although I remember watching his trial on TV and just turning the other cheek.
Yeah.
I was like, that's oh, he sleeps so with little boys. I still love Remember the Time music video.
That's so interesting.
I mean, I'm not proud of this, but I'm going to admit it because it's my truth.
Say it, like, say it.
I do that not as much anymore. You know what the breaking point was for me? Chris Brown.
Oh, sure.
At first, when the Chris Brown Rihanna thing happened, I would like close my eyes and pretend he was Usher because I liked his music. Oh,
my God. Everyone loves with you, with you, with you, with you.
I listen to it now,
I
and I'm
love
so
that
sad.
Music. But Chris, yeah. That was sort of a that for him. He was the guy for me who made me look at real life and be like, you know, well, I can't support. You know, it's like
these are flawed people.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So like you know, well now with like Woody Allen or yeah. whatever, yeah, yeah, like, yeah. I don't like their films, but. But you know what? Learning about Lou Pearlman didn't shock me as much as... Because you know what? These were little boys,
it
as Matt
fits.
Said,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
who were being... Clearly, they were sexualized and blah, blah, blah. Like, you knew it was a little fucked.
If anything,
you know?
It explains how successful it was. Yeah. No, truly.
So it didn't feel like as big of a shock to me.
Totally. Speaking of Chris Brown, I just want to say, I am so... Have you guys seen this documentary that's on Netflix about him?
No.
No. I'm really into documentaries.
I hear it might be good. Anyway, I just want to put that on everyone's radar.
Is it focused on him?
I think so. I might be misspeaking, but I just know that it exists.
Oh, I'll watch it.
I think
and
we
also,
should watch it.
I mean, I don't want to get this is like my biggest fear is that with this podcast, I'm gonna want to talk about too many things. But
no,
did you watch the Demi? I know Matt watched it.
I watched it.
Did you talk about it already?
We have not talked about it.
We should absolutely talk about it.
You did watch it?
Oh, and I have. I mean, I loved it. I fucking loved it, and I see her at a whole new light, and I've been a fan from day one, and I'm more so a fan now.
Great.
I love Demi, and I did love the documentary. Of course, it was very funny to me like that every 15 minutes there was like a photo shoot.
those were fun. Those are my favorite
parts. I mean,
parts.
She looked absolutely incredible, but the thing is like, you hate doing this. You hate comparing it to something else. But like,
I know what you're going to compare
it to. With 5'2". So, what I liked about the Demi Lovato documentary is I thought it revealed real truths about, like, the dishonesty that comes along with addiction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was something that I feel like, you just assumed Demi Lovato had all these problems, got better when she sang the song Skyscraper, and there was no looking back. Meanwhile, there was, like, you know, confirmed... in the documentary was that like even when she was releasing another documentary like 4 years ago about how she was like rehabilitated, she was doing coke and like all fucked up, super fucked up post, you know, rehabilitated image, like singing at American Idol, like
She was hungover.
That was like, wild.
And she's saying she's clean at this time, and she's revealing that she lied.
But she's still, and I thought this was refreshing, she's still dealing with bulimia. I think she's still dealing with body. She's that chapter isn't closed. I mean, like, I don't think any of these books or chapters are closed.
No, they never are.
They never are. And that's a realistic sort of presentation.
And I really, like, you know, I feel I always understand, especially with the Disney the Disney girls or the Nickelodeon girls, like they come into the spotlight a role model.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of pressure for these girls, and I really like seeing Demi's story, you know, she started doing Barney and then shot to fame doing the Disney stuff. But to see her story and to have her be so honest with it now, I understand why her fans are so ride or die, because she's real. I feel like she's very authentic.
Yeah. And an amazing vocalist. I thought it was good. Sudi and I watched it together. And just in the very beginning, and I'm not saying this like I'm like I'm very astute to observe this, but I feel like the artifice of the documentary of it being like overly produced like was just I don't know how to feel about it. I either admire it so much for being so like blatantly like, oh, this is like this was a fed line.
Yeah.
Where like even in the beginning where she was like, I'm nervous to talk to you.
Yeah, that part
because
was
the
a
last
extra.
Time I had talked to someone this long on camera, I was on cocaine. Like it was just. It was just like, okay, like you're just repeating this. That's how I felt. Matt's giving me a look like.
Well, I mean, sure, but you could literally say that about us. You know what I mean? Like, at a certain point, you just have to, like, if we're going to sit down and watch this, either accept it for the message that it's giving, which is, I think, a pretty honest
message
one.
Message is great.
About, you know, what it's about, like, her many, many issues, or kind of say, okay, well, just remember, this is still a product. I'm still being sold something. But you could literally do that to yourself for a long time, where I think you need to find a balance. That's, I think, sometimes why it's dangerous to watch things with Sudi. Because she is always going to see right through to...
But it's great, though. And, like, you've
No,
even...
it is totally great. And I'm so thankful for that eye.
Yeah. I mean, I just watched this, and I picked up on it at certain parts that Sudi didn't even. And I was just like, oh, yeah, like... It's fine. Like, we get that this is a documentary and that certain moments have to be, like, staged in a way to feel powerful, but also, like, just, like, go there. Anyway, and that's why I liked the photo shoots, because it's blatantly, like, of course this was a set, like, this was set up.
And you know what? I would prefer the overproduction versus... you know, a couple of scenes in Gaga's where she's topless by the pool
and they're shooting the shit. Thank you.
Where it's like a little boring. I'm like, all right, I prefer that.
Because Demi's was transparently produced. Yes. Whereas Gaga's was like, you cut back to her and her fucking tits are out. And
she's like, the best,
you know what I mean?
The best part of Gaga, of the Gaga documentary, was like, so produced, was where she's like fucking at, She's at some studio, and she's talking to the phone with Sonia, her friend who has cancer. And she's
oh,
like,
God.
What? The doctor said what? You still have cancer?
And so the cancer is definitely back, is what you're saying.
Like, repeat, yes.
Just repeating it back. Just so expository. No.
I do want to say R.I.P. Sonia. She did pass away.
And she was, R.I.P.
And
Sonia.
She was a lovely person, and Gaga cared about her very much.
And
she was
I love Gaga.
And Grisha Girls was the song inspired by Sonia.
And so, seriously, and that's why I almost don't even like to compare
Yes,
but of course you compare them because they're very similar, and like, we're here to
current.
Mine
like,
and the comedy current. Out of these things. And yes, there were many parts of Gaga's documentary where it's like, it's almost more shitty to me because it's presenting itself as unproduced and more raw.
Agreed.
Whereas, like, but this I live for the fact that Demi Lovato basically blocks her eyebrows out to go boxing, honey.
But this is the thing.
100%.
That was so funny. This applies to both documentaries, though, is that the parts that are authentic are so much more powerful. Like when Gaga's giving notes at her Super Bowl rehearsal, where she's like, I have to be here. Like, that was a real moment where she's like taking everyone to task, and it was amazing. And for Demi, like, several parts in Demi's documentary where she does that. But then, you know, I just thought I loved the studio sessions where she was like, and Sudi and I just couldn't stop quoting this, where she's just like talking back and forth with the producers. And then at one point, she just goes, just completely like,
anodyne,
like straight toned, like, I just want to make sure my vibrato is consistent.
Like,
which is like not something you say.
You say at all. But it's, I mean, that was an amazing moment. I
love that they go over to like the recording on the computer, and they see, look how consistent the vibrato is. Like, bitch, we know she can sing. Like, we understand.
It was great.
I can do a consistent vibrato too. Ay. That would show up on there as a Demi Lovato consistent.
How did engineer Will? What does the waveform look like?
Oh, wow.
Pretty consistent. It's pretty consistent.
Thank you. But I love that moment. And you know what? You're right. I agree with you. I'm on the same page. I liked the Demi documentary better because, by virtue of it being overproduced for moments such as those.
Yeah, because it's like, what are you going to do? Like, lie about, like, at the end of the day, like, you want eyes on this to sell things.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, I think there is more prestige in the fact that, like, Lady Gaga's was released to Netflix, and I think maybe a little bit more artistically done than Demi Lovato's, which is on YouTube and, like,
YouTube original.
Absolutely. Like, you know, at some point, we definitely all subliminally thought, like, you know what I want right now? Pepsi. You know, I really want Pepsi right now. I'm really in the hankering
for
it.
I'm really in the mood.
Oh my God, wait. I don't know if this sort of relates to your boy band obsession. What are your feelings on Josie and the Pussycats, the movie?
Yeah.
Do you ever love that? And speaking of subliminal messaging, like,
can I be honest?
You never
saw
it?
If you haven't seen it, you have to see it.
You have to.
I think I've seen pieces because my sister was watching it.
Sure, sure.
I remember pieces of it. I've never seen the movie in its entirety, but I am watching Riverdale.
Okay. And they are characters in Riverdale.
And I'm loving the Pussycats in Riverdale. Nice. Except for that one tired one who's just so tired all the time. She needs to go take a nap.
Is there one where her thing is that she's tired?
No, but did you see her face? She looks so fucking tired.
No, I haven't seen her.
I'm not trying to roast her. She just looks very tired.
I watched like the first 6 episodes of the first season, and honestly, like, I really loved it. I thought it was, like, stylistically it was great, but then something about it, I just didn't keep watching it. I think maybe because I felt like I got it.
Oh, well, I'm watching it for Luke Perry as a hot dilf.
I get that.
Oh, Luke Perry's in it?
Luke Perry
plays the dad, yeah.
Archie's dad, that's him?
Archie's dad, and he's hot as fuck, and he's...
I just haven't seen him in so long that that did not register to me who that actor was.
Oh, thriving in Riverdale.
Also, what's Veronica's mother? Her name is Marisol Nichols. She's also gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
Veronica, the actress who plays Veronica, guess who her teacher and a playwright was?
Who?
Andrew Farmer.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that
our
wild?
Friend.
I Googled and saw that she went to Tisch.
Yeah.
Our friend... That means, oh my God, our really good friend taught her an acting.
Are you for
That's
real?
So
she tweeted
funny.
Something because hi Andrew, and Andrew's doing this really cool or maybe he will have just finished this cool series on about Subway scary stories.
Scary.
And then she tweeted, she was like, "Hi, one of the best drama teachers I ever had at NYU is doing
God.
This cool project. Check him out." So she's like an Andrew Farmer stan.
She's
really good.
She's really good.
Really
and
I love them.
Stunning.
Yeah. Can I admit I've only seen the first 2 episodes, but I liked it.
Oh, I like it.
You
a
get
lot.
It.
I get it.
Yeah, you've seen it all. I really like it.
But I had such nostalgia when I was watching it for the OC, for all these shows that I would watch as a teen, and I'm glad there's one for this new generation, but I want that. But scaled up to my age, but I don't think that
it's
exists.
It's a weird realization, watching it this time around, because I, too, I loved those.
Yeah,
scenes,
yeah.
And it does make me feel nostalgic. The thing this time around that's tripping me out is that I'm really into the parents' storyline, which I feel like isn't a sign that I'm getting older.
No, I was always into...
Because I'm the dad's I was never into Sandy Cohen.
I was into Julie Cooper.
Julie Cooper.
And
Julie
Kiki.
Cooper, Julie Cooper, early gay icon.
Yeah.
She really is an early gay icon.
Yeah. Also, what was
Kirsten?
Kirsten Cohen's alcoholism was a huge, huge story.
I loved the parents even as a young child.
Wait, Kirsten Cooper? Oh, that's Kitty, right? No.
Kiki.
Who's the redhead?
Julie Cooper.
Oh, that was Julie Cooper.
Marissa's mom.
Kirsten.
Wait, Seth's mom.
Seth's mom.
Seth's mom had alcoholism.
Yeah.
Later in the season.
I'm not remembering this.
It was really
season
bad.
Season 2, season 3.
Oh,
yeah.
I think I'm remembering. I do love Sandy Cohen, though.
She gets in a horrible car accident because she's drunk at one point.
I remember.
Oh, my God, remember Tate Donovan?
Oh.
Yeah, another hottie.
I love Tate Donovan.
Yeah, voiced Hercules. And I, as a young child watching Hercules, I was like, whoever's voicing him.
He voiced Hercules?
Yeah.
Zero to
Did
hero.
He sing Go the Distance?
That was Roger Bart.
Roger Bart.
Broadway legend Roger Bart.
Every single quote-unquote straight boy had sang that song for their audition.
Yes.
I will go the distance.
Can I tell you, they used to have an American Idol attraction at Disney World.
Where you could sing. You could go up and sing to in front of
where
people.
You could go up and be a contestant. And kid who won sang Go the Distance. And afterwards, they did this thing where they brought him to the back and they were having him pose and people had to pretend to be fans. And I pushed my sister so hard to go up there. I was like, oh, let's walk this way. And pushed her up there. And she was what are you doing? And this Hollywood director, quote unquote, in the parks that was all right, our extras, come on, we're doing this. Now when he raises his arms to give muscles, you guys are going to be fans. My sister was mortified. She does not do this kind of thing.
Oh, my God.
But it was too late. It was A, she doesn't do this kind of thing. B, she's also not the kind of person to break authority. So the fact that she was up there, she was going to do it.
Oh, my God.
And watching her pretend to fan herself was very fun for me.
I competed in the Warwick Mall Idol.
Oh, my God. What did you sing? Tell us.
Oh, it's brutal. I sing a musical theater song.
Okay, and?
I sing All That Jazz.
Yes! Fuck me.
It was so stupid. And I auditioned for American Idol season 2 with Clay Aiken and Ruben Studdard.
Did you get anywhere?
I made it past one cut of judges to go sing for other people. But
Before Simon, Paul, and Randy?
I never saw those judges.
Oh my God.
It's hard,
but I
though.
Sang for that. I sang Christina Aguilera's "I Turn to You" and started with "When I'm Lost." Like oh my stupid God. Voice. It was like too
no
much.
No one understands that that is the song.
Oh, that song.
I turn to you. Yeah.
Rule number 300 something something of culture.
We can't have to you something something.
Get specific with your numbers, Christy.
You know what? We're going to actually.
384.
384 of culture. Christina Aguilera, the song is I Turn to You. Now, we're going to take a quick break to listen to that song in its entirety. And when we get back, we're going to have so much more from Christy Cello. But I think now we should go to a word from ourselves about our upcoming show at New York Comedy Festival.
So here's ourselves. Ooh, Matt, I think I sense a chill in the air.
Yes, well, if you thought that chill was the fall, the autumn, I have to say it's not.
Oh!
It's a chill between you and I.
Ooh.
That's because we are going head-to-head, people, at Culch War. It's our show for New York Comedy Festival, and it's an I Don't Think So Honey death match.
Team Matt and Team Bowen are going to have their own teams of 10 comedians facing off head-to-head in many rounds, honey, for the title of the Ultimate Culturista.
Yes, there will be a $100 cash prize.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are some things you could do with $100, Bowen?
Oh, I think you could pay for a Spirit Airlines ticket to Tacoma.
I think that that's a pretty reasonable thing
that's
you
like,
could
that's
pay.
Like a standard
fare. I was going to say a Con Ed bill.
Oh, yeah.
I think someone, whoever wins Culch War, will be paying their Con Ed bill, and they'll also be bringing glory and victory to either Team Matt or Team Bowen. You will find out which team wins on November 7th at 8:30 p.m. This is for New York Comedy Festival, people, and tickets are on sale now. We're doing it at Villain in Brooklyn. We're very excited. November 7th, 8:30. It's a Tuesday. New York Comedy Festival, Brooklyn. Villain is the space.
And you know what? November 7th, 2017 is Election Day, and I would say that this election is more important than anything else that's happening in the country.
Yes, I agree. Now, if you can't make November 7th, if that's not something you can make work,
then you can come to the beautiful, more positive, more cathartic
far
experience.
Far more jovial night.
The proven quantity of our I Don't Think So Honey live show, this time at the Bell House. We're so excited to be performing there. We're going to have 50 brand new comedians doing their I Don't Think So Honeys as we record them, as we introduce their stunningly, stunningly incisive attacks to the world. And yes. It's going to be so fun, so fun.
Got some amazing comics lined up for it. We'll be announcing that very soon.
And it's at the Brooklyn Podcast Festival.
Podcast Festival.
On November 18th at 10 p.m., honey.
Yes, at the Bell House. Very excited about that. So again, that's November 7th, Culch War, and I Don't Think So Honey Deathmatch as part of New York Comedy Festival.
And November 18th, I Don't Think So Honey Live at 10 o'clock at the Bell House as part of the Brooklyn Podcast Festival.
So there you go, people. Two options, and we'll find out who can really serve Culch.
It's getting colder
in here.
And we're back with Christy Cello.
We are.
Hi, everyone.
We just listened to I Turn to You in its entirety, and you know what? It holds up.
I came.
Yeah, Christy
she did.
Came.
You're so Christy's brain is horny.
Yeah. Oh. And that actually really rings true in your upcoming show.
Thank you so much.
It's Christy Bitch, which is going to be at Ars Nova on November 4th.
I'm really excited, the and I'm so title. Thrilled that you're a part of it, Matt.
I'm thrilled to be a part of it. It's directed by John Trowbridge.
Hi, John.
Now, we want to say hello to him.
Hi, John.
Hi, John. How are you?
And check out, his Instagram page is one for the ages.
You should check out his Instagram.
He bears a little
skin.
I'm
into it. I really adore him.
Another hottie in the show is Evan Williams.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He plays the role of my fantasy man.
Yeah,
fun.
In the show. And he's something too. He's a phenomenal stand-up.
Very funny.
And we also got close doing roasts, but he's an incredible actor.
Really?
Oh my God. It's like what he wants to do. And he can do impressions, and he's incredibly versatile, he's an amazing actor.
Oh.
So there's going to be a lot of reasons to come to this. Can you tell us a little bit about it? Why did you want to do it? Like, talk a little bit about the show, because I want butts in seats.
It's really fun. It's the debut of my one-woman show. I've always wanted to do it. And I really love stand-up, which is what I normally do. But I wanted an opportunity to do a little bit more than just stand-up. So it sort of combines stand-up and a little storytelling. There might be a little song and dance in there. There's some acting. It's a whole... It really follows my life as a horny and holy girl.
Horny and holy.
Holy and horny.
And we don't just mean holes as in the holes we all have. You're a religious lady.
I am. Yeah.
I just need to. I need to pull up something that Christy posted today on Facebook that really, like, really affected me because it's just so funny and so true to her and who she is. Okay, and she even put the background on this. You know those big backgrounds with the big letters.
Yeah.
She goes, "Is it hard for me to be holy and horny? IDK. Is it hard for the sun to shine? Sick of these tired ass questions."
But so I shouldn't be laughing that hard at my own joke.
It's so
but
funny.
Just you saying it's so funny.
Sick of these tired ass
questions.
I really, I'm trying to talk more about how I'm Catholic, but do it in a way that is a little, I try for it to be a little refreshing, very positive, and like not. You know, when you bring up Jesus, there is, you know, you alienate people and you can anger people and it's personal and it's a strange thing to bring about. But I'm trying to do it in this way where, like, I'm a very horny girl. I love sex. I sin all the time and my Jesus fucking loves it.
And I've the only all the times I've heard you talk about religion have always been so personal, so beautiful, so moving, so refreshing. So I don't think you should
really
fear
appreciate
that.
You saying that.
I had friends that were I wasn't at the show, but I had a lot of friends that were at a friend of the show and competitor in culture war, Elise Morales, hosts a show called So Do We. Hosts a show called The Roast of Her 15-Year-Old Self. And there's an upcoming Roast of Her 15-Year-Old Self. Look it up.
At the New York Comedy Festival.
I don't want to interrupt you. One of my favorite shows I've ever done.
I've done it as well. Have you done it?
I've done it.
It's a phenomenal show.
It was so fun. And it's really, really good. But I had several people come up to me and tell me how amazing yours was. Also, you did a really good You Are Heard. Remember the show You Are Heard?
That's when I heard you talk about religion.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so that was, I had a lot of people come back to me and they were like, I was really moved by this because a lot of people, you talk about being religious and they immediately shut down.
Yeah.
But you were able to speak about it in a way that made it very real and it was very genuine and like, I don't know what it is. I think we all kind of associate it with our childhoods and maybe an oppression. Yeah. Or like you assume someone else is oppressed. You never assume someone's empowered by that.
I completely understand. And I think that's important too is like I understand the people who get angry at religion and don't like it and why people are atheists. Like I understand that. But you know, it really is like according to most Catholics, I'm not a Catholic.
Ugh.
Because I don't, you know, adhere to all the whatever's in the Bible, but I very much pick and choose what I do for myself, and I have my own religion, but, like, I very much have, like, a strong relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very important to me.
I love that. And we had Blair on a couple episodes ago, and she just talked about how she's starting to, like, turn to, like, God as this concept, not under an organized religion per se, but, like, just as a good force in her life.
We've really talked, Blair and I have talked a lot about that.
And you came up and we were just like, have you and Christy talked about this? And she was like, we have, but Blair is like not necessarily operating under this like, you know, organized sort of structure around religion, but you are. And I feel like what do you like about like just having the, I'll say institution, but not in a bad way, the institution of Catholicism just to like organize your faith behind. Does that make sense? Like, what do you like about having Catholicism be the system that's already in place?
Ooh. Well, I think Jesus.
Yeah, okay.
Like that being
it's
the center
it's Jesus,
of it.
Yeah.
It's literally Jesus. But also, I do go to church every Sunday, and I sing in the choir at my church.
Yes.
And I, like, love... For me, I think it's, like, my equivalent to, like, how people would practice yoga or meditation.
Yeah.
Like, I turn off my phone, and I just think, and I kind of meditate on my thoughts. And, like, you know, there is, like, a stigma with religion, and I get why when, you know... priests were molesting boys and there's been, you know, it's parts of it are corrupt
right,
and I
right,
get that
right.
But like, you know, I belong to a really amazing church, and like the pastor is so, this guy, Pastor Kevin, and he's so funny. Like, he's Kevin. Watched my comedy online, and like, and he'll always like kind of roll his eyes and be like, Christy. And I always make these jokes with him. Aww. Where like literally one time I made a joke with Pastor Kevin, and he was like this Irish, New York, like older, chubby guy. He's really great. And uh-huh. I was like, I said to him, I go, will Jesus be mad? Or like, is Jesus going to be mad if I'm gay? Or uh-huh. I'm not gay. But I said, would Jesus be mad if I was gay? And then he said, no, Christy. And I said, hell yeah, this weekend's going to be lit. And he was like, Christy. And aww. He laughs and rolls his eyes. And it's like, you know, this like knowing we have a great relationship and you have to, you know, it's a personal thing. But
yeah.
I love that.
It's really personal to everyone. No, you didn't. It's personal to everyone, and I love thinking about it as this place where you can go and have a joyous, contemplative, singular experience.
Yeah.
That is really
nice. And thank you for talking to us about that. Of course. Because we know it's personal. We know that you have the right to be selective about when to talk about this.
Was there a reason why you found it, or like...
That's a good question. Like, I was brought up Catholic, mm-hmm. and... It gave me a lot of anxiety, and it gave me some of my OCD habits that I have because I was so afraid of going to hell and burning with the devil.
Right. Yeah.
So that gave me a lot of Catholic guilt, and there were things I didn't like about it. But in the city, I sort of rediscovered it. I had this crazy like experience where I had this cancer on my back. I had melanoma, and I had to get this tumor. They found it really late, and I was set up to like start this radiation for this cancer that I had, and they got it all out in surgery, and all the doctors were very much like, oh my God, you have someone looking out for you. Like, you're so lucky. Had I waited another couple weeks, I would have had to get treatment.
Oh my God.
And it's like, I'm not this like survivor. I didn't beat cancer, but I got so lucky that I really believe that people are like looking out for me. And I believe that like all the time. I believe in like angels, and I believe in like the power of prayer, and like I believe in it. Yeah. So that really changed like my life.
It's just, I really genuinely believe that it just matters what you decide to call it.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, there's people in my life now that are like, it's about positive energy and, you know.
The universe.
Exactly. Calling it the universe and you know, investing positivity into the world and self-belief and all these things. And it's like, you could just change the verbiage of that and call it God.
Yeah. Oh,
100%. And you would be still living the same goddamn life. As I take the Lord's name in vain.
Oh, I do it all the time. God loves it.
Yeah, I think
he
loves it.
He's just laughing. He's R-O-C-L rolling on the cloud laughing.
Oh! title of app.
Rolling on the cloud laughing. I think. Really fitting. And you know what? Hot engineer Will nodded along.
Nodded along.
Oh, Will, thank you. Yeah.
It's even Oprah, who is definitely like religious, like in a Christian sense. Like, I think she's even learned to just like, in order for something, for she wants to tell everybody about God, but knowing that she has to reach this wide audience with varied backgrounds, she refers to it as like this force that like guides you.
It's funny.
But that's sort of what that is.
I go to therapy, and my therapist, one of the first days, she asked me if I believed in God.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, okay, then she'll use the term God.
Yeah.
But my girlfriend sees the same therapist, and the girlfriend doesn't believe in God, so she calls it the universe. And we're talking about the same stuff.
Right.
Yep.
It's like, so put it out, but it's very true. She uses God with me because that's something I...
Respond
you know.
To.
Yeah.
Can I? This might seem like totally out of nowhere, but you talking about this melanoma. I mean, wow. First of all, wow. Second of all, do you and Molly ever talk about these kinds of things that like
Molly Austin?
Austin, friend of the show, Molly Austin.
Adore Molly.
She talks every now and then about this near death experience, or not a near death experience, but like a really traumatizing physical experience she had about how that reorganized almost everything in her life.
Yeah, it really. Yeah,
was there like a before and after with that? Was there like a before and after thing with that? Like, what was that? What was the shift there after like that moment?
I think that it was just like it sounds so cheesy, but it's just a real. I think you know God, but like it sounds so. It's like you really look at your life and you realize like you're lucky. Like I started practicing. You know what I practice more than anything else is gratitude.
I thought you were going to say bocce. I thought you were going to say bocce ball.
You know what I practice more than anything else? Bocce. No,
it's
that's
like
gratitude.
I literally have like a practice journal. It all the time. And mm-hmm. just to be thankful. And I really felt like, you know,
You know, if you want to practice bocce, you could just, when you host your show at Union Hall.
Bocce made me laugh.
At Battle of the Divas, you know, Union Hall, you could just go right upstairs. They have a bocce court in the bar.
That's true.
Yeah, so if you did want to practice bocce and get better at
it.
You should go to Union Hall.
I really should.
So talk to us about your show, Battle of the Divas, with this bitch, Mateo Lane.
First of all, just to bring this back to Kathy Griffin and Anderson Cooper, that would be like if Mateo disowned you as a friend.
Oh, I know.
Which he would never do.
He would never do that.
It's like this, yeah.
Right?
I adore Mateo Lane. Our show, Battle of the Divas, you both have done it.
So
and you
fun.
Were phenomenal. We just take two divas.
But who won? I guess I just want to know who won.
The amount of times Matt will bring this up is truly shocking.
So everyone knows, I won.
What does that sound like? A contest that someone wins and then he still can't stop talking about it.
Sounds like victory.
Sounds like a Trumpian fucking impulse to me.
You guys
we get it.
So,
you won.
It was like you guys did Britney versus Christina.
Which thank you for like honoring us with that matchup because that's a big one.
That's the matchup.
That is the
matchup.
I mean, there are only a few other ones that are like as big.
Yeah, Whitney and Mariah.
We had NSYNC Backstreet Boys, which
that's
is phenomenal.
That's great. Oh, so good. Was that Sharon and Evan?
Sharon and Evan.
That's
and
so
Evan
funny.
Was so. So we're coming back, and I really want your opinions on this matchup.
Okay.
We invited Marie Faustin.
Amazing.
And Evan Williams back
Whoa.
To battle these divas, and I'm curious what you boys think. It's going to be Katy Perry versus Taylor Swift.
I mean,
There is no comparison here.
Are you for real?
I don't think there's a comparison.
There's no contest.
There's no contest.
I think is that what you mean? Like,
yeah.
It's Taylor.
Taylor.
Like, Katie's had so many missteps.
You guys were saying this, and I was convinced you were going to say Katy Perry.
No, because it doesn't matter what our opinion is. There's one who's...
Objectively, one is like...
There's one who's defeated the other. Yeah,
like Taylor's won, quote unquote, which like we don't necessarily like agree with, but that is the like cold hard truth.
Wow,
capital T truth.
It was hard. I will say, Marie is defending Taylor.
That really
that's so funny that Marie of all
know.
People.
Very funny.
It's gonna be. It's literally.
Is she gonna throw? Like, well, I don't know how she feels about Kanye, but does that mean she's going to throw Kanye under the bus?
I mean,
how is she going to reconcile Kanye?
Nothing's off limits.
It's not about how you feel. It's about what you do to win.
Oh, my God.
It's like you have to throw it out. You have to perform.
Okay. Matt has an interesting tactic, and you both did phenomenal.
I think, and this is why I lost.
But this is an interesting thing that Mateo and I noticed with Matt. He took the argument against Christina and turned it into the argument for Christina.
It was it was Trumpian. It was
like using what you would shit on her for as if that was in power.
But yes. spinning it and then flipping the entire room
Trumpy.
Upside down.
It's a little Trumpy.
It's Trumpy. And then so my
yeah. And who won the election? My man Trump.
No. Okay. So my opening argument was. Britney has, you know, been through a lot. She's been. We've seen her through so much.
Everyone wants to hear a sob story.
She's been with us. We've been with her. And you know, I did not slut shame Christina.
And then
though.
I came out.
Oh, not at all.
And then I came out looking like a tramp.
And okay, real quick, his definition of looking like a tramp: you wore shorts that were completely covering you,
a black wife beater,
boots, and you wore a bandana.
A skank.
Is that
a tramp? A tramp.
It's like a skanky slut.
So anyway, his Matt's whole argument.
Completely covered.
Completely covered.
I was being such a hoe.
And oh no, that's debatable.
And I mean, Bowen.
Yeah.
And
I was.
Matt used what Christina used. Matt used his body.
He used his body.
I was a sexual. I was a sex positive, talented bitch. And. Listen.
And some of us out there in the world do not have that capital to barter on. I was making a measured argument for Britney.
Passionate, compelling, smart.
It was
interesting. And then Matt poses naked in a pile of Beanie Babies
yep.
and that picture.
I don't know.
I won hands down.
Really,
so funny.
Lost a lot of faith.
It was incredible.
Humanity.
But you know what? The people vote on whoever. You know, like
that was right after Trump was elected, right? Or
no,
right before.
This was like February, January.
Oh, and you had done Beyonce.
I had just, so here's the thing.
So you came back with
the vengeance. I had just represented Beyonce in the Beyonce versus Lady Gaga battle, and I had lost representing Beyonce. So I was not about to let that happen. And
yeah.
I saw what my failures were. And my failures were just assuming that I was going to get by on public narrative.
That's what I thought. I was like, Beyonce will win.
And
things people already know. Things people
yeah,
already know.
Yeah,
right?
And yeah. Honestly, you have to play. Here's the thing about
people go in for the underdogs, though. The crowd goes to the shows to root for the underdogs.
You have to play up the things that are funny and stupid about these icons, because that is what makes the comedy crowd laugh. You like
every show we do, we just want to have you guys.
No,
so
stop.
Just
no,
have
we
us.
We
want
to have Marie. We love
no,
Marie.
No, have Marie
Evan,
and
love.
Evan. You're bringing
but
back
we
Evan,
love
though.
Evan has won his past battle, and
yes.
Marie has won her past
Who
battle.
Who did Marie represent
Whitney
last time?
Houston. And she, I mean, I tell you, she was unbelievable.
Did
and
Marie
Evan
go up against
unbelievable.
Her best friend, Sydney?
Actually, no. We have not had Sydney yet, and we need
oh,
to.
Oh, Sydney would
This slide. One we're taking, we decided to take two champions
yes,
who
yes,
know
yes.
the show, who've
no,
done
that's
it
before. Smart, that's smart. All stars.
Also with Sydney, we want to give her picks of divas. We want to do like a Janet Jackson one.
That's great.
So we want Sydney to like choose her diva, which one she wants to do.
We came on your podcast, May She Rest, and we pitched.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. We pitched to you that you should do an edition with Disney villains.
Oh my God. And I talked to Mateo about
and
that.
And what did he think?
Loved.
Okay, then yeah. Okay. Great. I mean,
literally loved.
Open offer, free offer, take it. That's,
honestly,
that's
thank you. Will you guys come back?
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
Do maybe like an Ursula versus Maleficent or something?
That's
like that?
Exactly what I was thinking.
Ursula versus Maleficent. I would root. I would come in hard for Jafar too.
Oh,
yeah.
Jafar.
But Jafar is not.
Jafar versus Scar.
Jafar versus Scar. Okay, that and that's a different show. But Ursula versus Maleficent. Those are the icons.
Ursula would win it.
I would want Ursula.
You would want to represent Ursula?
Yeah.
I would, too.
Dang, man.
You know who would represent Maleficent is Mateo.
I know.
He's
Mateo loves Maleficent.
Maleficent.
In fact, he talked about Maleficent at length on this podcast.
Oh, my God. Typical.
Typical, typical.
Typical.
No, he is such an encyclopedic, gorgeous knowledge of it. No, it's such a good show.
Thank
Go
you so
check
much.
It out if
Thank
you're
you
listening.
Guys.
You
Thank
got you. Shows coming up. You have It's Christy Bitch.
Shows.
You have Battle of the Divas.
Oh, the Divas.
Are you still roast battling?
You know what? Not really.
Now,
tell us how you... I've always been curious because you are basically a roast icon at this point. I want to know how you even got into... What got you into this like gorgeous world, into that orbit of people?
Because you would never think of you as someone who is a roaster.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know... I kind of figured that I could get away saying some fucked up shit because I can say it in
You're
the
so
sweet
likable.
Way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I can really, I mean, and I say horrible, I've said horrible things. But The Stand was like, started to do these roasts and I just tried it.
Uh-huh.
And my first one, I liked having like an outlet to say really fucked up things.
Yeah, yeah.
And
What's
I did,
the worst thing you've said about someone?
Oh, God, this is the worst. I like going after like the physical.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go after the weight. I'll go after, I mean, nothing's off limits.
It's low hanging fruit, but it's the juiciest.
But you know what? It's the juiciest fruit. And I do want to say that like I did so many of them and I started to just, that my stand up and my comedy took a backseat. So I'm very actively trying to not do them all the time anymore.
Smart, yeah.
But I will say that like, in all the times I've done them, like, everyone's very respectful. Like, we'll meet beforehand and they'll say, like, is anything off limits?
Mm-hmm.
And then if I were to say, yeah, so don't say this, 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 which I never have, but people have said that, and that's respected.
But that's respected, and, like, of course, like, I would want to know that for anybody. Like, I'm not saying, yeah right, like, that,
you don't
that's
wanna,
good.
You don't want to, like, hurt people.
No, no.
You know, so... But I had a great, I mean, it was a great opportunity for me.
So then you kept doing it at The Stand, and then finally Comedy Central came knocking? Or were they just shot, they just like shot stuff at The Stand?
They shot a lot at The Stand, and like Jeff Ross would come into The
right,
Stand a
right.
lot. And so he saw me a couple times, and then Comedy Central did the show at Montreal,
mm-hmm.
and I was the, I mean, I think because somebody turned it down, they called.
Who cares?
Because I found out, I mean, like a week before the thing that I was going, and then
right.
I battled Jimmy Carr, who was the biggest name
yes,
that did it.
Yes, yes,
and he had won
right
the year before, so he was like the undisputed champion, and so we battled each other, and he's like this legend, and it was, I gotta be honest, I think people like, were like, oh my God, like, are you terrified? Because you're going in this no-name underdog. And right. I was like, no, no, no. This is the best way situation.
Because
I know I'll get knocked out.
Right.
But I don't give a fuck. I can just have fun. It's nobody yes. knows who I am.
Right.
So I had nothing to lose.
and
so
it was so fun.
I went in there like, I was very in the moment. I was nervous. I had to prep myself.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it, I just like, you know. I brought myself into it, which I liked.
And it didn't matter.
I had a lot of fun.
It didn't matter, but did you end up winning? No.
Oh, can I tell you something? I've lost almost every roast I've ever done. I never win. I never ever win, but I'm a great loser.
I love
and I
that.
I do such a great job, and I don't give a fuck.
It's not even about losing or winning.
No.
I love that.
Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun. But I also, like, I'll say this too. I had, as like a story of how you can overcome. My first like big shows that I did at Caroline's, Jeff had asked me to host.
Mm.
And it was like my first time performing at Caroline's. And I don't know if you guys have been in similar situations, but just a bomb city, just bombs over Baghdad. And I felt like I couldn't show my face in Caroline's for a long time. I feel like I'm on the no-fly list there.
Oh, my God.
No. Just, you know, this, and I, to the point where you're like, you know, you feel like you need to write everybody you know a letter and apologize for knowing them.
I felt the same way. I'm actually doing a show next week that I bombed, like, years ago, and I haven't done it for years because I bombed so hard.
I get that.
And yet you're going to do great. And I bombed so hard. The hardest I ever bombed was at a show with, and I begged Matt to do it with me because I didn't know what I was going to do because I didn't really know.
You're talking about Gay Show for All People?
Talking about Gay Show for All People.
Oh, we fucking were so bad.
But it was my fault.
This is Josh and
Aaron's. This is Josh and Aaron's show. And yeah. This was 3 years ago. I had no business.
No, it was longer than that. This is right after we had just met them.
I didn't really know what I was doing, like, in comedy just at all, besides, like, Pop Roulette, and they had asked me to do it, and I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do. Because at that point, I didn't do characters, didn't do stand-up, didn't do anything that was just me on a stage.
Wow.
But they asked me, and I was like, okay. Like, it was too terrified to turn them down, because I still do. But like,
looked up to them.
Back then, it was just like, same. Worshipped them. Still do. And then, so then I begged Matt to do this bit with me where we were two Grey's Anatomy improvisers. Like, our specialty was, we will improvise a scene that
sounds great.
But it
we got out. We came out and we got laughs because I was dressed as like Meredith Grey and he was dressed as Christina Yang.
We were in scrubs
and we were like, we are Grey's Anatomy drag, and people liked that.
Giggled.
But then, like, I don't know. We did it,
and then
we were just
I
so
was
not funny.
So ashamed.
I understand.
Yeah, I mean,
and it takes you. I mean, it's a loss.
It's part of your soul goes away.
And I was like, this is the biggest show I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, Jeff's never gonna. I still think, oh my God, is he ever gonna want to like work with me again? It was an opportunity, and I blew it.
But part of me, and
but
I,
you
I'm
just move on. You get
sure.
over it. You got it. It's part of it.
Part of me gets off on this is failing and then bouncing back. And I was listening to I've been listening to not a lot of Howard Stern. I'm trying to like go through the back catalog of Howard Stern interviews, and they're great. But the first time Lady Gaga was on, she talked about how she came up in like the Lower East Side scene and like how she like bombed all the time, but she was like, part of me got off on it and it made me want to be better. And I was like,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. It's interesting has, you know, when you progress in this business,
mm-hmm.
the stakes get higher because we feel like we have more to lose.
Mm-hmm.
I almost look back at the roast battle experience with like a little sadness because I feel like I'll never really have it again.
Yeah.
Like I'm not a big name now, but I was doing open mics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to have gotten that and to go
and
now
host Caroline's, yeah.
And now I feel like, you know, oh, like now it's like, well, people, you know, expect me to be funny.
And people know what you're about.
I want to just say, oh, I'm still new comic, but like you're not anymore.
But that's the great thing, and this is so exciting about the show at Ars Nova, is that the ceiling keeps you keep this. I'm sorry, the floor keeps rising.
Yeah.
High floor, ceiling still high. Ceiling rises with the floor, so like your horizons just
I
expand.
I love that analogy.
But you know, you're leveling up every day. And
thank you for saying
it's so
that.
Cool that you've gotten to this place now where you can fucking have a show at Ars Nova that's a solo show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. And if you're here, you should come.
Yeah.
It's going to be really good.
Come check it out. It'll be
it's
really
going to be
fun.
Really good. And you'll get to see me perform, which is always such a treat.
Oh, my God.
It's always such a treat. Oh, my God. Do you know how much I love to perform?
Yes.
You boys are literally. Also, too, I want to say real quick that, like, I was obsessed with both of you before you knew who I was.
That's not true.
That's true. We knew who you were.
I remember exactly when you first saw me perform, and I was in my head. Or at least when I know that you guys...
Bell House.
Yeah. And I was in my head because I wanted to do really well in front of you guys. And I felt like I did fine, but I was like,
you did great. You
really
killed that night.
I had like a good set, but I was like, I really want to impress them. Because you guys performed as Pop Roulette.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I have... Molly and I have sat and watched all the Pop Roulette videos all the time. I mean, I remember so many of them. I mean, I love... That's like the... I mean, and I've gone on to follow all of you individually. I'm like a stalker. Yeah. I would watch those videos and I would Google you and I'd Google Sudi and I'd Google Tessa and I'd Google Amanda, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Dave.
Yeah,
I'm literally a psycho and I loved it so much. I mean, I still love it.
We loved doing it. It's just so hard to get everyone...
That's
together.
The thing.
Around now.
It's got to be so... You know who I started following on Instagram not too long ago is Amanda from Pop Roulette, mm-hmm. who I've only met once.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That bitch can sing.
She's going to be on the show soon.
Shut the fuck up.
She's going to be having...
I'm a fan. I geek out a little bit over her vocals.
Yeah, she's...
We're going to try a different format.
We're going to try
episode.
Something a little bit different, and it's going to be really, really fun, and the fans are going to be gagged.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Ooh! I just think everyone's so... I mean, all of you guys are so... fun, and I love
oh
that.
Thanks Christy. No, the first time Christy and I ever like officially sat down and
oh
talked
my God.
Was at the you've heard the story before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Matt? I'm so glad you brought this up.
But I just want everyone to know that the first time Christy and I like actually like had a conversation was in the waiting room for the audition of what the fuck was that
joking
show?
Off
MTV's joking off.
It was joking off. I mean, God bless it, it's a fun show, but our managers like put us up for this.
Why were we there?
There was so much prep and homework to do. We had a...
Do you remember I came out of my audition, felt okay, and then said, I'm going back in because I remembered I had one joke that I wanted to tell them. And I went back in expecting it to bring the house down. And it was like, okay, thank you. And I was like, and then I just like slipped out.
I'm so glad you did that. I'm so glad you did that because you know what? Like that is like a swinging doors thing where like now you're on this path in life that will, that you, like where you will sort of like make. Like,
sliding doors?
I'm sorry. That's what I meant.
Swinging doors.
Swinging doors.
You
sliding
are a
doors.
Dummy.
I'm a dummy. Sliding doors starring Gwyneth Paltrow. Gwyneth Paltrow?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes. I know my references. So it's a sliding doors thing now because you will always go back into rooms and be like, wait, one more. And that is gorgeous.
Even though it didn't make a fucking difference.
Doesn't
at
matter.
All. They made up their minds.
That room was so awful.
It was, we had, they would show me, they would show funny
memes and pictures.
It's what we do on our Instagram every day. And at one point, one of my notes was, okay, you know to make a joke about the picture, right? And not just say what you see. I was like, that feeling when a cat walks into the living room. They were like, okay, can you say something funny? And I was like, oh no, I bombed.
It was just like a weird, like, aged frat house vibe where it was just these people sitting on couches, like, just foots up on an ottoman.
They were too chill.
They were too chill about it, and it made me very self-conscious.
Me too. I was like, look alive.
Yeah.
We're trying to make moves here, baby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyway, you were the perfect
hysterical.
Person to have in that room with me.
Oh,
I'm so happy that's the genesis of your relationship.
Yeah, yeah. The joking off audition. And I think I like wrote to you like, did you hear anything?
So I was like, no.
Imagine if we both got
booked it. Oh my God.
It'd
I'd be
a
miserable.
Better show.
Like, it's canceled. It's not on anymore.
Right. Sure,
that's because.
Oh, boo.
I think
well,
I even
clearly
to...
we know why that was canceled. It's because Bowen and Christy weren't on the cast.
Weren't on it. I think I even casually mentioned, I was like, oh yeah, yeah, and I'm friends with Mateo too. Like, what an asshole.
Oh my God.
Oh, I used to do that all the time. I've done that in emails I've written.
Ugh, whatever. No, emails is fine, but anyway.
It is now time
to
move on to I Don't Think So, Honey.
Oh my God.
Now, Christy.
I didn't prepare anything.
The last time you did an I Don't Think So, Honey, you were throwing things. You were stomping about.
Do you remember the email I wrote you the day after apologizing?
And I wrote
in
that email, I took a water gun and used it without permission, and I feel like I overstepped.
No, but that's...
You didn't overstep.
In fact, it was entertainment.
I might be wrong, but I feel like I was the first person to draw from the troll bowl.
I think you might have been the very first.
Thank you so much.
Wait, that's huge. That's historic. First person to ever draw from the troll bowl.
Yeah, I was like, and I had something prepared, historic. And I was like, you know what? I love a challenge.
What did you say your prepared thing was going to be about?
Well, maybe she'll do it now. I don't even remember. Maybe she'll do it now because
I really didn't prepare anything.
That's fine.
For this.
Don't worry.
That's
we'll fine. Go first.
We'll go okay. first.
You go first, Matt.
Okay, this I will is... go.
Okay.
Should it be current or no? You don't care.
Mine is for all time.
Okay.
You can be as timeless as you want, baby, like Jesus. Okay, all right.
Okay, I'm excited.
Okay.
This is Matt Rogers's I Don't Think So, Honey.
It's hard for you to think of new ones because you've seen so many.
I know.
But there's always something.
But you have to. It's rule number six of culture. You have to be original.
Oh, my God. But it's like I immediately go to the classics who have done your show and I think of theirs.
Don't go there, girlfriend.
Don't go
there.
Don't go. Go your own way.
It's rule number 14 of culture. Don't go there, girlfriend.
This is Matt Rogers's I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey auditions. No, you come to me. I've been out there performing. I do many shows. You want me for a project? You come to me. I Don't Think So, Honey. The ancient Greeks and the Romans, they started theater, but they did not start auditions. I believe it is natural, honey, for me to stand in front of a crowd and perform. I believe it is something that even the ants do. I believe the birds do it. I believe it is part of nature. I do not believe, honey, I don't think
seconds.
So, honey, that it is natural for the ants to say, hi, my name is ant number 16, and here is my audition. I do not think the Greeks and the Romans stepped in front of each other and auditioned for parts. Therefore, why should I? This is capitalist nonsense.
Seconds.
You want to see me in a performance to see if I'm good for your show? Come to my show in December. Have you heard of Christmas at the Duplex?
Is that
That's
really
the first
happening?
Time I'm
Five
announcing
seconds.
It. Come to my show, auditioners. You come to me. She gonna do what? A who?
Oh, and that's 1 minute with a little Cardi B
Goosebumps
reference thrown in.
On my fucking body.
Goosebumps.
Was that a monologue you memorized? There were beats, the timing,
wow.
The reveal of your new show.
Oh my God. Wow, wow, wow.
Goosebumps all over my body.
I've been doing this a long time.
Wait,
I believe that auditions are no.
And really quickly, I'm sorry. Was the show called Have You
Have You Heard of Christmas? This is Matt. This is an exciting announcement.
I'm going to cry.
I'm doing two shows at the Duplex in December, on December 12th and December 21st. I'll be accompanied by Henry Kapersky. Mm-hmm. It's the release of my Christmas album, Have You Heard of Christmas?
Are you for real?
Is my album coming out? Probably not. But let's just say there will be a full catalog of original holiday music.
I'm saving the date right now. I will be there.
Have you heard of Christmas?
Have you heard of Christmas?
You know, yours truly is designing the album cover.
Oh.
And I've heard a few snippets of some of the songs.
Stop.
And I gotta tell ya, you can't miss this.
Can you give me a little, like, just like a little
no,
hint?
No, no.
But I will say that I can announce that I will have some special guests.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They will be announced.
They will be announced.
Oh my God, this is huge. This is fucking, Will, did you have any idea this was gonna happen?
No idea.
No one's privy to this.
Oh my God, now I'm scared. Okay, here we go.
Have you heard of Christmas? December, what were the dates?
December 12th and December 21st at 9:30 at the Duplex.
Amazing.
The legendary Duplex Cabaret.
Oh, I love, speaking of Josh and Aaron, pioneers, I mean, people like Cole Skoll have had shows there, of course, but now it's is becoming this nice new
Catherine
home.
Catherine Cohen.
Can
Henry
I piggyback
Kapersky?
On that? I opened for Catherine Cohen, and
yes.
I was floored. Floored to my core. She just did her one-woman show,
yes.
And it was incredible.
Fantastic.
And Henry played the piano
Amazing.
For that as well.
Yeah, we're going and right I, after this. We're going to Henry's
I
solo show.
I wanted to
there.
Go, and yeah. I can't have a birthday party, but I really wanted to go see it. But
He'll
she
do
was
it again.
Phenomenal.
She'll do it again.
Catherine Cohen was phenomenal.
Yeah, she's
that
amazing.
Venue, it's something about that venue. It's really special.
It's a great venue. Barbara,
pretty cool. All right, this is Bowen Yang. I Don't Think So, Honey.
Ooh, okay.
And his time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. The employees of the Doc Martin store on Spring Street, bitch.
Oh, no.
I just bought a pair of beautiful black boots. But, honey, the service there was deplorable. If I want to walk in a room full of fucking bleach-haired Asians, I'd turn on Sailor Moon, bitch. I don't, that's not even a good joke. Whatever. But it was just all
that.
These dour, like, tragically hip Asians. And I'm like, girl, this was my phase back in old 2013, honey. I done bleached my hair, too. I went to your fucking Conversations of the West seminars in college and your liberal arts programs too, honey. You're not special. You are not so smart.
15 seconds.
You don't have the right to comment on how my feet are a little anomalous or whatever the fuck you think. I have perfect feet. I get to wear whatever boots I want. And
5 seconds.
Don't tell me it's final sale. I know. I'm not an idiot. I don't think so, honey. Doc
Martens. 1 minute?
What do you think, Matt? Matt always has something to note on my I don't think so, honey.
Oh,
how was that?
I have a note too. Well, not a question.
A question, what?
You had bleached hair.
I bleached my hair. This was pretty recently, 2-3 years ago.
Really?
Bleached, and it was blue and gray. Blue silver.
Ooh,
and I miss that
I
look.
I need to see photos of
it. I'll show you. I miss it so much, but I don't think I can get away with it now because I think like people can be like, oh, but auditions, blah, 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 blah. But I don't think so, honey, auditions.
I don't think so, honey.
What do you have to say, Matt?
I don't have a thought. I thought it was really beautiful. I thought
Thank
what you did was amazing, and I resent the your tone in saying that I constantly have a note.
No, I wasn't saying that.
And let me tell you something. Me and Will just shared a glance, and I know that I know that we both think that you're really ridiculous.
We can't. No, Matt, you and I can't fight over head engineer Will yet this early. But
yeah,
Matt,
we can't fight because, bitch, I already won.
Can I ask?
He gave me his number.
I want to clarify. I have a clarifying question.
He gave me
for
his
you.
Number. So
stop,
I can
stop,
text
stop, stop, stop,
him
stop.
Later.
I have a clarifying question for you about your I don't think so, honey.
I will text him.
What were the ants about? You're saying ants do theater?
I was saying that every organism does theater.
Okay, that's
wait, what
debatable.
Does that even mean?
I think Matt
I don't know. Will understands.
Matt is
all
trying
that
to be like little Mr. Sociologist for animals, but I don't think it really works.
Wow.
Okay, Christy, it's your turn. Do you have something ready? Even if you
I
don't,
do.
Great.
I'm gonna. I drew from the troll world in my head.
I think you're gonna do great. This is Christy Cello's.
Thank you so much.
I don't think so, honey. Her time starts now.
Okay, I don't think so, honey. My adult acne. I mean, the people who say it gets better, do they know about adult acne? Because I'm really struggling. You know, and it's in places I didn't know it would ever be. It's hard. You know, people go through that stage in high school, but I'm a grown-ass woman.
Yeah.
And I'm really trying. I wish I was awkward in high school. Now I should be thriving. You know, and when the pimples are by your hair and it hurts when you brush it.
No.
I mean, I don't think so, honey. Brushing hair with pimples. Right, Will? I throw the table. You know, I don't think so, honey, having to buy expensive creams.
15 seconds, you're
right. I don't think so, honey, having to contour my face around my pimples. I don't think so, honey, having to wear makeup when I don't want to wear makeup. I don't think so, honey. Why aren't pimples cool? You know? The Kardashians should make acne cool. And then I'll be cool. I don't think so, honey.
Yeah, that's what I
meant. Wow, I think that we have a lot to think about.
We do. Why aren't pimples cool?
Like, well, why can't, if the Kardashians said they were cool, they'd be cool.
If fucking Gwyneth Paltrow, right? If like some lifestyle blogger walked into this room and was like, you know what, pimples actually make you better in
sex.
You know what?
You'd be like, great.
And it's like a weird thing that like. Maybe my next I don't think so, honey, is going to be, like, makeup. Like, I'm, like, over having to wear makeup.
Hey.
Like, fuck it, I didn't want to wear makeup.
It's your choice.
We're all born with this fucking face.
Yes,
that's your
Let
choice.
It out.
Yeah. I think we have a lot to think about after this episode of Las Culturistas.
This was
I'm
a very
shook.
This was a very thought-provoking episode.
It was an
episode.
Educational, thought-provoking, heartwarming episode. Lots of ups, downs, and all around.
Oh.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
And we want to say one more time that Christy's show, It's Christy Bitch, will be
when you say it.
November 4th.
Perfect.
At the Dupe.
At Ars Nova. Thank you so much.
At Ars Nova.
I can't wait to see you guys there. And please come out. Hopefully it'll be a really fun time.
It will be.
I better be there because I'm in the gig.
Matt's in the gig, girl. Christy, we love you so much.
Thank you guys
we love
so
you
much.
Dearly.
I love this podcast. This
and
has
always
been a thrill.
Have. And yes. You know what? You have the energy of 1,000 smiling butterflies. Aww.
And you be as Thank horny you. As you want. Let no one stop you from being horny.
Thank you so much.
Because you are holy. Now, I think
Thank
this.
You so much.
We're going to end.
Fill your holes with God.
That's my favorite song.
Fill your holes with love. Fill your holes with Christy. Fill your holes with God. Fill your holes with love.
Say it again.
Fill your heart. want to ask, was my vibrato consistent?
Yeah, it looks pretty consistent.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.